How refreshing and comforting. Jesus has called each of us by name, and we are his. For those of you who have been reading through the Bible in a year, or those of you who still need an exciting reason to start, let me give you a recap of this last week of readings. We finished up Genesis, and we began Exodus. Throughout Genesis, God made a habit of ignoring human customs, subverting tradition, and privileging the younger over the older. The takeaway? Lust and lies, deception and sin do not frustrate God's plan. In fact, God has a way of taking them, redeeming them, and including them within God's greater design. The story of Joseph ends with the children of Israel living in Egypt. They live there in peace and security through many generations, knowing that their future is not in Egypt. Their future is in another land, a land of promise, and a land most of them have never seen. We end with Joseph, and we begin with Moses. Before he becomes the liberator of the Hebrew slaves, he spends 40 years in the wilderness, where he eventually encounters God in a burning bush. This week, we will continue along the journey with Moses and dive deeper into the text of Exodus. Now that we've had a brief review of the Bible and the year's text from this past week, let's move into the text we're focusing on in worship today from John. But first, let's pray. God, we come to you. We come to you with a lot on our hearts that we carry through the doors into this building. We know that we are yours. And we hope that in these next few moments, we'll be able to focus on what you have to say to us. And God, I pray that in these next moments, there will be less and less of me and more of you. Amen. Last week, we began a series on discipleship, and Pastor Joseph talked about new communities and how each week that we gather, we have a new community, a new makeup of people, new things happening in the world and in our lives, and we bring those here. Today, we gather as a new community, and I find that to be exciting. To be honest, I don't really remember, nor am I sure that I know exactly when I decided to follow Jesus. I grew up in the church, and I was more drawn to Jesus' invitation of come and see, to ask questions, to learn through study and prayer and song, and to find God in everyday life. So whether you have a specific date or your life in Jesus is more of a journey, that doesn't matter. What does matter is that, like the themes in the Gospel of John, you are seeking, knowing, seeing, following, and abiding in Jesus. Have you done any of this lately? Tried to get to know Jesus better? Seen God in the world around you? Asked questions? Have you had any epiphanies following the day that we celebrated Epiphany? Let's ask some questions and see if that might lead to an epiphany or discovery from some of us in our everyday lives in the coming weeks. Take some time and think about it. How would your life be different if you were not a Christian? For some of us who have lived surrounded by Christian people, it's hard to imagine. But what if you had no interest in God? How would your life be less or more or just the same? Every once in a while, the disciples thought about how different their lives would have been if they had never met Jesus. Read this passage from John again out loud, and you will see that the passage is filled with verbs, actions, and a deep presence. To be alive in the adventure of Jesus is to hear that challenging good news of today and to receive that thrilling invitation to follow him and to take the first bold step on the road as a disciple. In the Gospel of John, two disciples start following Jesus in the passage we read, and Jesus doesn't give orders, but instead asks a question they aren't sure how to answer. What are you looking for? I'm looking for my keys. Why? Why is looking for your keys so important? What do you need them for in that moment and on that day? Would you be okay without them? Is there another way to accomplish what you need to without your keys? Side note, I know this a lot because as Pastor Joe and Jim know, I lose my keys a lot at church. See how this one question, though, of what you're looking for isn't just a simple one? The first answer you give isn't likely to be your final answer. Keep thinking about the question. Sit with it for a while, a week. Come back to it throughout the year, time and again. You have to go deep to get what you are really looking for. Then the disciples ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Most of the time they're confused, so to have a clear question like this is a real gift from them. Where are you staying? Jesus doesn't answer them with an exact location. Jesus answers them, as we heard from Pastor Joseph, with an invitation. Come and see. Come with me. The Greek verb meno is used 5 times in 2 ways in the passage from today. Meno means to remain, rest, stay, or abide. If we use one consistent translation in this text using the spiritual meaning, then the Spirit abides or dwells with Jesus. And the disciples ask him not merely where he is staying, but where he abides. They in turn ask, "May we remain at your side today? May we abide with you this day." Finding where Jesus is staying and heading to stay, to abide there with him too, can change our lives. Most of the time, we move toward God in small steps, taken as much out of curiosity as out of faith. The one with whom the Spirit dwells is the focal point of all of the movement in this passage, the place of abiding, rest, and remaining. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for in worship? Why do we come to church? Most of us probably don't come here with great expectations. We know what to expect each week, and it's wonderful. We have mixed reasons why we come. Maybe we're thinking about how we could live better lives to a point. Maybe we're here for no good reason. That's okay. Lots of people find their way by accident. The disciples stumble along, following without really knowing where they're going. Deep in our souls, we are looking for something to believe in and to hold on to, something important enough to live for, and something big enough to claim our passions. We are looking for challenge and purpose. We are looking for God. What begins with curiosity becomes a step towards grace. The emptiness we feel from time to time is actually God calling us to the paths that lead to meaning. So maybe when we come to a point where we may not feel God's presence, and we're looking for that, we need to look a little bit deeper. We bring our community around us to help us find God in those moments. We can look beyond our phones and coffee cups into the enchanted possibilities of grace. Do I yearn for God and spend as much or more time with Jesus as I do on my phone or drinking coffee or other drink of choice? Does that sting a little bit? It did to me. God is the one who makes us long for something that lasts. God draws us toward life, even when we don't recognize that it's happening. At its heart, discipleship is about recognizing that our faith is not an individual journey, but is connected into community. As disciples, we are growing and learning, always humble and willing to get up again after we fall, always moving forward on the road we are walking. Think about it. How have you been drawn toward discipleship through another person? Many times, if I ask you what brought you to this church, for a lot of you, it's another person. If you could help another person learn one important thing about your journey as a disciple, what would it be? And how would you teach them? Our society is filled with people who are curious about God and interested in exploring theirs and others' beliefs. But most cannot make their way through all of the requirements or traditions or perceptions or polity that characterize a worshiping community. I heard this yesterday during Bishop Mike's funeral. It's as clear as mud. In light of those barriers, we can still learn how to engage in healthy, respectful, and effective faith sharing and learning. Let me say that again. In light of those barriers, we can still learn how to engage in healthy, respectful, and effective faith sharing and learning. We can go away from church, sharing the good news wherever we are, in each and every moment throughout our week. We can join. We can't expect people to join our church if we have not taken the time to join in the lives and the traditions and the experiences of those people. Finally, we can ask and listen. Faith sharing is already happening, and God is doing all of the real work. We just need to go and join and listen and ask good questions. God leads, and we follow. Come and see is a great invitation, an invite to explore, discover, and travel without exactly knowing where we're going. That's some of the fun of an adventure. If we catch a glimpse of God, we will also catch a glimpse of who we can be. We go to see what it means to hope, believe, and follow. Perhaps we are in church to open ourselves to God, who will lead us to new places. And I know that can be scary, the unknown, the new, the change. But the great news is that God is with us. The disciples continued to look for God, and they found extraordinary lives. They walked away from what they knew, their fishing, their nets, their boats, their lives. But what they found was extraordinary. When we come to worship, we come to seek the meaning of life, to join with people on the journey, and to ask God to help us see where grace invites us. We come to look at the gifts we've been given and the needs of the world. We come to discover the possibilities. If we worship God, if we share our lives with other people looking for God, we will see beyond what we have assumed, beyond what we thought we are looking for. If we look for God, we will find that God is looking for us, offering life. We find our true epiphany when we find our place in God's world. May you long, itch, desire, yearn, and aspire to look for God. Amen.